these are attending service. And if you take the top two buckets again, that's 80% or so are coming at least once a month. Two-thirds are actually coming 3 to 5 times a month, which is great. It tells us that the right people clicked the link and took the survey. So the rest of these slides, we're going to kind of go through just components of what we learned. Some of these summarize a specific question or two. Again, this is the next 6 or 7 are going to be kind of the main takeaways. This one has to do with how important is what we do here on Sundays. Obviously, it's the main product, if you will, that we're putting out there for ourselves and anybody else. And this is what we thought about it. The idea is there were a lot of things we could choose from in the questions, and the most important things to us are at the top. So in green here, in bolded, are the top 5. And there's a handful of slides that look kind of like this that show how things stack up in our minds. And the top 5 or so are highlighted. So personal growth. This is why we show up on Sunday. And it would follow that the minister's message is being central to that is number 2, along with minister personality and energy. Makes sense, right? If we're here to grow, the person who delivers the message like Maggie did so well this morning is really central. In the 4th and 5th place, I guess, were that sense of belonging and connection, as well as a connection to our mission and vision, what we're trying to do here. And you can see how the rest of the items stack up. Music ministry, youth education, adult education, those things are kind of in the middle. And then community outreach, campus amenities, prayer ministry, those kind of round out the bottom. So this is how we would prioritize what we like to get out of our Sunday experience. This is very much a theme. We're here to grow and be inspired, as well as challenged. We'll see more of that as we go through. Next, what keeps us coming back? This is a visual on that feeling that I think it was referenced this morning, you know, that feeling that I think we all have had probably from the first time we showed up here on our little mountain. First, it's that sense of love. This is that vibe that we all feel. It feels like a real community here. Open, joyful, loving, caring, inclusive, supportive. These are adjectives that kind of came out in all those responses. Love vibe. So this ought to feel like our family, and it does. Second one is fellowship, which, again, makes sense. We want to feel connected to that family. Something that came out of the details of the exercise were we love unity and new thought principles, and we want to know more so we can be better practitioners. We also are a little bit eclectic, and we like to hear about other traditions or ways of thinking that can also help us along our journey. We're consistent in our heterogeneity, is that a word? So many paths. We like new thought and to keep our heads open, right? Message and speakers, obviously we're here so that we might grow. It helps to be inspired and motivated and stimulated. And the message here was, you know, come on, challenge us. It's, I think we have a pretty good mix of people who've been in new thought and practicing this stuff for many decades, and others like me are still relative newbies, so a balanced diet is in order. But that's why we keep coming back, in keeping with the theme about, hey, we're here to grow. Okay, lots of fancy stuff on this one. This is what fulfills our spiritual needs. I'll just go around the wheel here. Number one, we want to be supported on our paths as individuals. So it's the teaching, it's the principles, it's also pastoral care, and again, that sense of connection in keeping with the theme that came out all the way through this exercise. Again, being individually supported. The second one, again, is fellowship. So we want to be connected to each other, not just for the hour that we're here, but we actually want more ways to be further connected. Classes and education came out as something very important. And this is what fulfills our spiritual needs. It's not necessarily what we think we're getting all the time, but what we may like more of. And this bubbled up as one of those. Again, unity as well as broader new thought learnings, even down to alternative healing and some of the other modalities that we bring in here to the mix that feel really good given how eclectic our worldviews are. And then the fourth pillar of our spiritual needs being fulfilled is that connection again. Spiritual connection and then kind of on that personal level. And in all of these, thought-provoking was something that came out of all of those responses. We want to be challenged to keep moving forward. There was a question or two that dealt with, hey, during the most recent tenure, what did you think? What was working? Where are some opportunities for improvement? And this is effectively how that broke out. I hope this is clear. There's a scale here. This is where we would need more improvement on this end of the spectrum. On the other side, this is what we think we were nailing, I guess, during Ellen's time with us. So those things would be centered around the Sunday service, the music, and the building and grounds. We think we've been maximizing our assets there, and that makes total sense, right? Ellen being Ellen, we had Kid, and then following her, Melinda, just really great musicians. Gail, you've really carried that forward, by the way. Want to brag on you every chance we get. So thank you. You see how important that is to us. In the middle, really everything from here on down, less than half the people said we really do this great. So things like, you know, whether it's fundraising or technology, right, Taylor? we were wondering, how can we get this to go all the way out to the edge here so it'll be bigger? Anyhow, we were at a 45% on technology. So, and then, you know, we do a lot with youth and family, and it's great. I think we just want more, and that's hence the campouts and all this stuff. Where we really called ourselves out as needing to do more were around engaging with the community, having classes for adults. That came up repeatedly. Another big one was pastoral care. I think it's one thing to get great messaging and examples out of the leadership here. A lot of us feel, per the data, that we want more on a personal level in times of need or just to feel, I think, a deeper personal connection with leadership. And it makes sense. You know, we're here to be mature and really practice this stuff ourselves. Getting to link up with people who are, you know, pros at that is only helpful. So this one is titled Our Spiritual Needs, and it's kind of how we doing. So the needs, this goes along with the slide we just saw. So what is currently being met? We're definitely inspired by each other. And we'll keep coming back, and we love the sense of community. This is back to that love vibe theme. Where we, again, need a little bit of work. And by the way, this was not intended to look like a cross. So, yeah. That's my old programming, sorry. Anyhow, more spiritual education. This came out. We want more classes. We want more opportunities to keep going on our own individual path further down the road. More leadership from the minister, more classes, again, consistent with spiritual education, increased emphasis on youth, that pastoral care we've already seen, and then more local involvement. I would guess that my survey results highlighted this. You know, I feel this is such a vibrant community. And without fail, every Sunday, there's at least one or two new sets of people, either families or individuals or whatever. And how do we really tap into that? I think we can do more. Being on the board, one of the first things that jumped off at me was, hey, we have a line on our budget called marketing. And we spend $21 a month marketing. Not that we need billboards or Yellow Page ads or whatever, but, you know, what if we tried to be thoughtful just with a little more money there, maybe online, we could reach people on their Facebook or on their mobile phone. Tools out there, we just need to explore them to do more of that. Okay, the next slide or two really get into who is it that we want. And again, there's a definite story here. First, most important to us, we want someone who is very compelling from right here. That was consistent all the way throughout. This is, of course, on Sunday, we want that great teacher who hits us at a range of, you know, our experience levels and mixes up the type of message. There were other questions that we didn't put in here, but dealt with what types of lessons do you like to hear? Turns out we really like narrative-based stories, and Maggie, she kind of nailed that. Maybe she had saw this, but you know, that's a narrative where you're talking about those life stories that are really simple to draw from. But it goes beyond just the podium. This gets into other communications too, writing. You know, we were blessed. Ellen is maybe one of the best writers I've ever known. We like that. That's part of this presentation. Second, interpersonal communication. So we wanted someone, and I've got a few notes here I'm going to lean on a little more heavily. This is making sure all those little nuggets got pulled up, and I'm not just making things up. So these were notes from the actual data. We want someone who is from deep within Unity, meaning they're not a newbie to the practice. They also have internalized it, and we can see them walking that talk. Compassionate. We need someone who's kind of relatable, and that makes sense that it bubbled up under this interpersonal connection and communication. This very much jives with the pastoral care element that a lot of us are feeling we need. And this one was great. We need someone who honors other perspectives and everyone's views. And that makes sense, knowing who we are. Again, I think a lot of this whole exercise was kind of affirming what we thought we knew about ourselves. The third one is a visionary or planner and organizer. The data spoke to, we want someone who, yes, brings those principles, but can also align our plans with what it is that we believe about ourselves and how we ought to move through this world. So we want someone who's looking ahead and fairly effective at marshaling the resources and working with the board or getting the right people into place who really make this thing go, people like Leah or the music ministry, someone who is effectively a leader, which is different from just managing day-to-day stuff, someone who's looking forward and can help kind of take all of our collective vision work and then partner with the board to put a plan together that honors our human side, right, John? That you and I, we like to see plans and spreadsheets and stuff. Let's balance, you know, our kind of what comes out of our heart with moving it forward. And then leadership. This goes very much along with the third most important aspect of our future leader. We want a team player who's inclusive, again, respects everyone's opinion because we are diverse. We'll also develop others and then be a partner with all of us, with the board, with our community. This is our new minister on a page. A couple other notes here. Very fine print. Other responses included high consciousness, compassionate, and authentic. Again, that is going to facilitate that deep personal connection with our new leader that we all want. And then other things that didn't bubble up so high were things like administration and counseling, just of note. Okay, this is another kind of stacking up of some different things in order of importance. So I really like this aspect of the survey that Kit put in there, getting to not what we think about the past or what we want out of a future minister, but making us really consider what are we? What is at our core? What are those values that are most important to us? And here they are. Number one, compassion and respect. Number two, living an authentic life. Number three, spiritual growth and education. Consistent, right? Life of gratitude and service to others. And as I read these, I'm just thinking about people I can look out and see here who really exhibit this. So it makes a lot of sense. So those are the top five. The middle of the pack include practicing high consciousness, which, I don't know, some of these are a little bit duplicative. Living in peace and harmony, regular meditation and prayer, stewardship of our planet, care for our physical bodies, practicing unity principles, as well as Christ teachings. And I wanted to get 13 on here. This one's number 13 because I thought it was really interesting. Prosperity consciousness is at the bottom. Mila always has the right way to look at things. My human side thinks, John, we've been really looking hard at our contributions every week and wishing we were more prosperous, right? So maybe there's a message in here. But considering all the work that we've done with the prosperity classes and how I think a lot of our leadership going back the last several years has done a good job of keeping this in the forefront of our minds. Me personally, I was surprised to see that on the bottom, but to Mima's point, it's on the page. Also, 78% indicated they are growing in their belief of the spirit and consciousness, so that's good. Last slide. What would our ideal community look like? This we tried to tease this out in the survey. We've been doing the visioning work and we'll continue to do that. But here it is. Number one, open at the top. I think this is being principled, but willing to let it all come in and not be too narrow in any certain thing that helps us evolve and be better people. Walk the talk. This jives with the authentic life that we just saw on the other slide. Diversity, and I see this largely as affirmations of what we already are, by the way. Vibrant Sundays, we know those are important. And then, again, spiritual education. We want to keep moving down our individual paths and need help to do it. Other things that were more on the bottom side of this one, events, community outreach, marketing, youth and families. Certain people thought, well, We've got it all. We're doing great as it is. They were toward the bottom. And then that pastoral care, which is interesting because we say we need more pastoral care, but this was at the bottom. I think perhaps there were some who interpreted this as, well, what are we doing a great job at? I don't know. A little bit more perspective, when I see something like youth and families, it bubbled up as very high in some of these questions, but in others, like this one, it didn't. But then this goes back to remember what we were keeping in the back of our minds on the second or third slide. Well, 83% of the people who responded, they don't have little kids running around. They're 50 or above. Two-thirds of them are 65 or above. So I guess it isn't a surprise that that's there, although I think it just meant that it's not really top of mind for a lot of people who were filling it out. So, again, this is the last slide. This is how we wanted to interpret these piles of numbers and responses. What we've done with that so far, when we submitted our packet to Worldwide that let us pave the way for getting our job description out there, which, by the way, it's been out for about 3 weeks now. So we're officially fishing. We have worms in the water and already have some responses coming in. More on that in a second from someone more qualified. But this informed that packet, and we're also, it took some time to kind of digest all of this. We worked the responses into our job description, which is going to be our handy reference for the search team, as the magnet team, as applications come in, that's what they'll bounce their resumes off of. And we even have more tools in place like scorecards for, hey, after this person has been here a year, how are we going to know that we've done a great job and they are hitting the mark? Well, we have that on a page already. This is all informing that. And that's good for both us as well as the candidates. So we've been using this stuff, even though it's taken us a while to make this pretty chart, you know, these slides to show you. So all part of the process. Questions? Comments, rude remarks, anything? Mr. Heineman. Oh, I think we are recording this, so yeah, please wait till you get the mic in order to state your question.
So, two questions. Will this come out as a report? Will there be something with numbers and percentages and more of the deeper dive? Will there be more than the 10 slides?
We've got that. One of them is 978 pages.
The report is 978 pages?
One version. We that's the full, like, every answer.
I meant the summarize, like the conclusions, yeah. the things that we can draw, themes.
Outside of this, there's just like how each question stacked up. So there's like, I wish I had one in here just to show you what it looked like. Let's see what we can compile that was, I mean, anybody can see whatever they want. It's a big pile of numbers, so.
So how would you present this to the new minister, I guess would be the question. How would you share this information when they arrive?
Yeah, you know, there is, we do have, and we decided we wanted something like this to kind of tease the story out more so than just, here's the answers for every question. Because to get to this, sometimes we had to combine some of the answers from some of the questions. But how would we share it with them? Haven't honestly thought about it, but they'll take and see whatever they want. As can anybody else. I mean, these are our answers, so we just wanted to make it digestible.
Yeah, I was less concerned about transparency than that point, digestible, and how do other people experience it, those who weren't here today, and what else would be available.
Yeah, it's a good point, and we thought we would do some sort of summary in one of our transition emails.
Great.
I don't know whether we haven't gotten this far. Do we put, like, the dump of the whole thing out there that people can go download or something? There's a risk in that. It's not, you know, it's not that we're not transparent, but it's that different people can interpret numbers in different ways. And this is a big reason we wanted to get somebody who is external to us, Laura at Unity of the Hills, to, like, and by the way, she's a marketing professional. She does PR and market surveys and this kind of stuff. That's her profession. So we kind of said, here you go. Tell us what to do with that. And she compiled most of this. I just kind of tweaked some of the colors and stuff. So I would start here, but certainly that next level down is available for whoever. But I don't know that we'd be emailing that out to the world just because, I can be open to interpretation. And any other ideas or?
Well, I had a second thing, and I was struggling when I was reading the survey. There seemed to be a lot of discussions that put responsibilities on the new minister that I might have had personal issues with, but I wanted to take a chance to explain that just for a minute, because I know the board is a very effective leadership unit within our church.
That's debatable.
I know that it can be effective, and I know that there's a lot of hardworking, well-intentioned, good-hearted individuals serving the church at a leadership level. And I know there's a lot of staff that do that as well. And a lot of the survey seemed to lean into a definition of the minister as the top of the pyramid, that the minister is the the pinnacle personality in this church from which all other things flow. And I read that as a maybe between the lines, but I sort of disagreed with it in a little bit. And I'm maybe airing a little bit of my own personal bias, but I wanted to see some things about what are the board's responsibilities and the staff's responsibilities versus the ministers. I want to see this as a challenge maybe to the board of teasing those out before we hire a new minister. A little more of that, like the T-chart that you have. This is the board does this, and the staff does this, and the minister does this. Mm-hmm. Because I was in an era before Sherry Conway took the operations position, I was serving in that capacity to try to run the church behind the scenes is an impossible, very heavy responsibility job, but I don't think that's very obvious on Sundays, and I know a lot of people somewhat take that for granted. I just wanted to, there was one comment at the bottom that said administration was not, like administrative capabilities was not on the minister's required traits that we're looking to recruit for. I wanted to see more of that teased out. This is what the board does, this is what staff does, this is what we're looking for minister to do. That's a personal mm-hmm. goal.
Yeah, I think I understand where you're coming from, and thanks for bringing that out.
Yeah.
We've heard about, through this transition, we've heard about things like, well, we should be mission-centric and not minister-centric. And that seems to me a related thought. We do have, as you would imagine, with Sherry in the chair for a while, we have all kinds of documentation that does parse out who's doing what. I'm thinking, David, of that four, there's a church on a page, and it goes through all the little things we have to do and in whose camp that falls. I, like you, appreciate the fact that we don't want to just bring in somebody and they're running the whole show. Obviously, this exercise was geared around teasing out aspects of that person, and they will have certain purview. They hire the music minister, for example. That's something, I'm relatively new to Unity as an organization, and so I can scratch my head at some of this too, like, well, but it really needs to be somebody that everybody here likes, right? And I think if there's a lot to be said about all this, but I think if there's a healthy relationship and demarcation of who's doing what between the new minister and the board, then that balance ought to be achieved. We've got stuff like that on a page. I think the reality of what we're going through, though, is we've got to find the right person who will partner with us, and we will get more specific as we go about defining all of that. I too have loads of questions about, well, how do you see how you would handle this? Would you come to the board, and would we kind of get input from the congregation on certain things, or are you just going to do it? I think that's top of mind for all of us as we find the right person. One thing that came out in the survey repeatedly is they need to respect what everyone thinks and not just their opinion, and not utilize their authority as willy-nilly. They also need to partner, not just with individuals, but with the board. And I think, yeah, it will be an interesting balance. But we can do more of this work if some of that stuff needs more articulation. So that's one thing we thought when we were putting this together and seeing the results. It almost brought to mind, well, gosh, we could have asked this or that. This isn't the last survey we'll ever do. It's really, on the back end, it's a lot of work, but it's not too hard to get one together. So if we need more work around that, we can do it. Anything to add on that?
Just, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. having sent it out to Laura, one of the reasons was because she was outside of our community, so she's not looking at it from the individual personalities that she might know or what she wants. She just looked at it from a very unbiased point of view, which I think was enormously helpful to us. It matched what we saw, but we were grateful that it did. And if it hadn't, you would have seen that too.
I had a a couple of comments on pastoral care and leadership. To me, they kind of go hand in hand. If we expect a minister to come in here and certainly be focused on pastoral care, that person cannot do it by themselves. He's going to have to be a leader, or she is going to have to be a leader, and let us do the work. And them, from a leadership standpoint, I've seen other Unity ministers, and very few of them actually do what I would call pastoral work, but the most effective ones are the ones that intermingle with the congregation and get leadership out of the congregation for that. And to me, that certainly is the most effective. And just one other comment about a minister. If we look for an autocratic minister, we've had that once before, and it didn't go over very well. So think about that. Partnering and certainly being a part of the community is something I think we all look for in a minister, too. So we've got some work to do, and I think we're on the right track.
Thanks for that perspective, Ron. It's always great to hear from people who have more history here than actually a lot of us on the board. I guess on average, we have been part of Unity of Wimberley less than 5 years. So please keep that wisdom coming. You know, there's that concept again, not to keep bringing this out, but of a mission-centric ministry speaks to that. That's something I think we'll be thinking about more once our person is here. But to your point, it's a good way to burn somebody out. Say, hey, everybody who ever gets sick or who needs anything, hit the road, you know, and go to the hospitals or wherever. And I think balance is key. And yeah, we need to look to ourselves to meet our own needs too. So hopefully we're already fairly used to doing that.
Well, my comment is, don't our bylaws sort of lay out minister responsibilities versus board responsibilities? Aren't there some guidance in our bylaws as to that?
There are, and I should have mentioned that. Some of them kind of leave you wishing you had a little more detail around it, but certainly some of those are there. Things like the music program, I believe, are one of them. It's pretty clear. It's like, this is the purview of the senior minister. Now, you wouldn't want them to just go make that decision. If they love bluegrass and nobody else does, I'd hate to have that every Sunday. But if we do our job and the OHM team does, we're not going to have someone come in here who tries to do it that way. Jerry, Jim, Stan, anybody? Judy? Okay, well, I've been up here way too long. But I'm not done yet. Go ahead, Reverend Jim.
Thank you. What I would like to see in a new minister, of course, the minister will have to have what I call look good on paper. Of course, he'll have to have the education and the experience behind her, you know, or him, and look good on paper. But what I call style is that the minister must have a style to feed us our spiritual food that we come here every Sunday to receive. And that minister can do that by how the minister works the stage and doesn't just lean on the podium and speak in a low monotone voice, but speaks loudly and clearly and works the stage and has appropriate humor and personality. And if the minister is just there leaning on the podium, they will lose the attention of the congregation. It won't be long that the congregation will just be sitting there with a glassy-eyed look on their face, you know, thinking about what they did tomorrow, what they're going to do tomorrow, what they did yesterday, and not concentrating on the service itself. And so the style of the minister, to me, is very important. Like today, we had a great service. She worked the stage. She
worked more than just that.
I turned around
and she was past the pole there.
And I think that is very important, for we come there every Sunday and receive the spiritual food that we came here to receive, with somebody that can work it and keep our attention, and not monotone, but vibrant, a lot of energy. Some guest speakers are just run plumb out of energy in the middle of a sermon, or the sermon may be too long, and the congregation is glassy-eyed and looking at their watch. And
Jim, thanks for the style of
the minister, to me, is very important.
Yeah, well, and Jim, please keep your notes to the board coming too. It's actually really helpful, everything you just said. We get scorecards every once in a while from Jim on speakers and other people, and it's pretty cool to have a variety of speakers during this transition, because it lets us hear a lot of different things, and some of them we like and some we don't, so we're taking notes. Thank you, Jim.
And Jim, I just want to tell you that in the process of looking at these resumes that are coming in and things like that, one of the things we're able to do is look at their online footprint and things, and we're seeing them actually giving talks and things like that. So as we, on the OHM team, look at the various candidates, that's one of the things we're really interested in looking at. So I just wanted you to rest assured we are looking in that direction.
And technology today makes it really easy. There's a lot of these speakers, you can go and find 100 of their lessons on YouTube just like that. And that's part of the homework that Chip and the gang are doing. Miss Marlene.
I just want to say one thing. I want a minister that likes people.
Well said.
Noted. David, yeah. Get me out of here. No, we want you to hear directly from the OHM team. And Chip, thanks for that input. And David has a little more.
Two things. First of all, I just wanted to thank Jason again, because it's amazing how much of this work he did to pull all of these mountains of data. So thank you. It took a long time, and thank goodness we had somebody on it the whole time. And the second thing is, I felt pretty good about this update, this OHM update, because I was absolutely certain that Scott was going to give it. So I'm a little surprised, but... So the first thing is to know, we know like a whole bunch of stuff, you know? But I'm not quite sure how interested you are. So the first question, let me just start with just a little high level, and then I'll ask you how much more you want. A little bit of a thank you for everybody. You know, when the board was putting together this search team, we were saying, you know, how are we going to do it? And it was a challenge. There's lots of ways to look at it. And then one of the ways we hit on was, let's just ask the congregation. You know, let's just see what they want. And we did. And you guys gave us some great advice, because the team, I think the team is very good. I think it's got a great deal of experience. It's got a great deal of new energy and some new ideas. So the team is, I think, very, very well put together. So that's the important part. You got some good people who know how important their job is. They're all available for you to talk to. And they all like talking. Of course, you probably already are talking to them, I'm assuming, right? Everybody feels comfortable with grabbing somebody and saying, hey, look, I want a minister that likes people, you know? I get that. Now, So we're good. We've started. The resumes aren't coming in as fast as we thought they would, but it's early. Now, that's the high level. How much do you guys want to go home? I mean, I'm up here for, you know, it's kind of like, what was that deal in the Bible where it said Paul preached for all during the day and into the night? So I'm well in to be here all during the day and into the night. So
give us some options.
So
are you talking about?
Well, we don't, you know, like I said, we're supposed to be very confidential about names and all this stuff at this point. I'd say this, we're getting people who have been looking for a job for a while would be my thing. I don't see that somebody has run across our ad and said, oh my God, I need to be in Wimberley. But, you know, that's just me. There haven't been that many, but it's been early. You know, we it's been 3 weeks, but the big publication didn't go out till last week. So it's really kind of been a week. Questions. That's probably the best way to do this. Good idea.
David, I just wanted to, you know, I guess we have like a committee that's involved in the search for the pastor, right?
Yes.
And so it seems to me that the committee needs to have a pretty firm grasp on what we're looking for in a minister.
Yes.
Really to proceed, right? And so, you know, I think some of the issues would be to first define what the role of the minister is going to be. And I mean, my personal experiences in the church, being on nomination committee, that kind of stuff, is that, I mean, I don't think that the minister should have a role in nominating the board of directors. That's my personal opinion. But as an employee, should not hand select their bosses.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, I think that, you know, that it's important because ministers come and go, yet we don't. We're still here.
Right.
And I think that, you know, keeping that control on the board of directors with our membership and being clear that the minister's role is of a spiritual nature, not to do with the finances or to be aware of those, maybe, you know, whatever level that has to be. But I think, you know, so we're not attracting maybe an autocratic minister,
right,
that we should have that kind of clearly in this is what we're looking for.
Well, agreed. And the two quick things I'll just say. The OHM team has a whole series of, mainly coming out of this survey, what do we want in a minister? And it ranks what we want first through last. Now, I will say this. The fact that we're looking for humans, you know, they don't just come in certain categories. You know, you're going to get some of this and some of that. I do think that when I think of all these things, I think of the ones that are super important, like this whole idea of somebody being able to give a talk. I mean, that's really, it comes through. It's like 92% of everybody who answered the survey said, that's really important to me. You know, we need that. So obviously, one of the first things we do on the OHM team is to look at the talks. You know, how are these people doing? And we will see that as part of the big part of that. Are these talks inspiring? Do they challenge us? You know, is it interesting? You know, just all those things Jim said. So we have this list of things that we're trying to do. I also think that because they're humans, the important thing is to quickly know that, okay, these two characteristics are all, they're enough. And then everything else, the church is just going to fill in, like it always does, right? I mean, just because the minister isn't an administrator doesn't mean we don't need to administer. You know, it's just we'll do that. So we've got those lists, and I'm happy to show them to you and share them with you and all that. But that's how we're doing it. We also had to fill out a big old long form in order to post all this stuff, and it says stuff in there about we need a minister who is collaborative in their leadership style, and you know, all that stuff has been written up. And so I feel comfortable that we have a pretty good description of who we want. Now, finding them has not been quite as easy yet. But we are still fishing, aren't we? And so, Richard.
To Doyle's point about the minister,
to Doyle's point about the minister serving on the committee that helps select nominees for the board, I think that's part of the bylaws. And the bylaws were actually modeled after bylaws that the at the time the Association of Unity Churches had pulled together. So to change that aspect of it, you'd have to modify the bylaws, and there's a process for that. How much enthusiasm there would be for it, I don't know.
And it is in the bylaws, and but.
I've been in Unity for 11 years. This is the fourth minister search that I've participated in as a congregant member. And I just want to say my hat is off to this board and this approach. It is the best I've seen with the most input from the congregation and the least strife and fight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. There is one thing I'll add to talk about lessons learned and been through this before. We learned one time in our process, and some of us are still here from that process, that when we had a minister come in, and 51% of the people said, "Hey, that's our minister." We said, "Great, we're done. Thank God for that." Boy, was that a gigantic mistake. We're looking for a minister that's got 85-90% approval. I mean, that's who we're looking for. Anything less than that, it's not our minister. You know, I can remember when we did Ellen, Molly standing up, we were talking in this room about recruiting. We were going to start our search team. Molly stood up and said, "What are you people, crazy? We got one." You know, give me an E, give me an L. Ellen. So, and that's how we got our last one. So, but that's the kind of attitude we need for our new minister. Give me, you know, we want people. Excuse me, Molly, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but we had her for a year, so we did.
We did, we did.
We knew what we were getting.
We did. We were very lucky about that. And who knows what's going to happen after the fishing expedition.
Just one small question. I may have heard it somewhere, but I don't remember. Is there a deadline?
Yes, it's self-imposed. I mean, self-imposed. We've said we would like to be seeing some of the candidates that we've selected talk in January of next year. Now, we've sort of put that out there saying that would be the target, which means by sometime in mid to late November, we would have some candidates that we would want to schedule. Now, is that what's going to happen? I don't know. You know, Neil F. Where is Marilyn?
Fire Riser.
Well done. Thank you. You know, he's got a great story. He tells about how they'd gone through their search. And his biggest advice to us was to be sure that we make sure that we're watching the periphery. Because the way they got their ministers was this way. They came in from the side. They didn't come from... They had a thing they were doing, and then boom, they showed up. And one of them was absolutely certain that had no desire to be their minister. So, until he did. So, I don't know. Did that answer your question? First of the year was the target.
So, are we? I have three questions actually, but they're kind of to the point. Okay.
I got six answers. I got six answers. Let's match them up.
Okay.
Questions and answers.
Can we? And are we only fishing out on the Unity of Worldwide Ministries through their channels? That's one question. And do we have to do it that way? Do they have to be Unity credentialed? And will there be some kind of probation period? Like we get somebody and we're like, let's try them out for 3 months. They're like, we're trying them out. And, you know, because that relieves a lot of pressure. If we get somebody in and we, I know it's a huge process, but you know, yeah, what sure. If we have them for 3 months and we go, well, maybe this wasn't the right choice, you know?
Right.
So if we could say, well, we have a probation period.
Yeah, there's in the contract itself, there's usually some sort of probationary period in there, and we'll definitely have that. Now, the answered your question. What was the first question again?
First question was, are we only advertising it out on Unity Worldwide Ministries through that newsletter, whatever it is? What are the channels?
Phase one, the answer is yes.
And is we have to do it that way? That's
in phase one, that is definitely the way Worldwide Ministries recommends that we do it. We're following the rules in the first phase.
Okay.
But with Neil and some of the other help we've gotten, and our own knowledge that we are not interested in just what's available, we're interested in the right minister. So we will stop looking when we find the right minister. And if the first phase is through the standard process, the second phase is what we call our hunting expedition, fishing, then we go hunting.
Oh, okay.
And then after we go hunting, we've got another phase we don't want to talk about just yet.
Black ops phase.
But we got it all, there's, but right now we're very grateful. I personally would love to hire somebody away from, I shouldn't say that. Never mind. We are recording this. Never mind. I'll tell you where I'd like to see us get our...
Okay. So since the first phase is fishing in that pool, that would mean that they would be Unity credentialed.
Absolutely.
If we go into the hunting phase, does that mean that they have to be Unity credentialed? Have we determined as a congregation?
Unity as an organization says that a church our size needs to have a senior minister, needs to be credentialed, a Unity credentialed minister. Now, it is possible to negotiate that education. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to have it when they come in, because who was the guy from Houston? Who was the...
He wasn't a Unity
minister to start with.
He was a Signs of Mind minister.
But he became one. Mm-hmm. And that is a route that you can take, that, oh, we like this person, they like us, they like Unity, it's okay, they will do the certification. So it needs to be, at some point, a certified minister for a church our size.
Mm-hmm. We have somebody in mind.
Right.
Well, I kind of did. And I actually went out and asked them. I'm like, I didn't hear anything back. But I just, that's why I was wondering if we have to go by this, certain route. And
we do now. And I then, mean, we're yeah. following it now. Yeah. Following it now. But okay. that route's,
yeah.
but don't, definitely talk to us.
Yeah. And there is a probation period then. That was the third part of the question is, we get somebody and we know, everybody knows that we're trying them out. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. yes. I mean, there's always a contract. We sign a contract with every minister. Every minister we ever had and the future ministers, we will sign a contract with. And that's the kind of stuff you put in there. You put in there, when are we going to review the performance of this deal? Because they may not like us any more than we like them.
Exactly.
It could be the other way around. Obviously, it'll be just that. We will either love each other right away, or it'll be like one of our other ministers, which we knew right away. Whoops. Whoops. I won't say which one.
Thank you.
David, could you read us our personal ad?
Did I who?
Can you read us our personal ad? Our job description or whatever we put out there?
It's online. I mean, do you want me to, like me right now, read it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a big old long piece.
Oh, it's not. Oh, we didn't pay by the word.
Yeah, well, we did. What they have you do is the first thing that, if you go out to Unity Worldwide Ministries and look under openings, you will see our posting. If you click on that posting, I think it shows you there's a 150 character description that we wrote first. And that's our first descriptive part, and you can see
that's our tweet, right?
That's our tweet part. In the document itself, the documentation we sent to Worldwide Ministries has another 2.5 page description that goes behind that we talk about who we are and what we're doing, and then there's several pages of information.
I'm going to put a link. I'll put a link to the ad in the newsletter, so you'll be able to go straight to it, and you'll be able to look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know about the whole form. Is the whole form out there? Is that? Can you?
Well, when you go into the newsletter, you hit a link, and it opens it up. It
shows the whole thing. Okay, great. There you go.
Thank you.
If it doesn't, let us know.
Yeah, yeah. Let Leah know. Let Leah know. Let Leah know. But it, I think the document turned out quite well. I mean, it took us quite a while to put it together, but I was quite pleased with it. I thought it read well. I mean, how many people here read it? I mean, it took a long time. I read it over and over and over and over and over. Oh, sorry, Leslie.
I just want to say, to put everyone's mind at ease, that we have a candidate in mind we are focused on. His initials are DL, Dalai Lama. He shows up.
And he's not certified, though.
We'll work on that with him.
The Dalai Lama could. I'm not sure how. Of course, I'm not sure how well the Dalai Lama talks. I know.
Love you, Leslie.
Okay. Any more data? Anybody looks for data or information? We're good. Again, we'll be updating you as I know monthly or at least weekly, you know, on some of these things. Mid-November, we're hoping to go to another phase, mid or late November. But I'm feeling good. I know we all know our ministers out there. You know, haven't necessarily, has anybody felt them yet? Has anybody kind of started feeling them yet? You know, I know I'm putting it out there, but I hadn't felt it back yet, you know, kind of get a little vision occasionally. Yeah.
So we propositioned some people who were your guests speaking.
Oh, several times, yes.
Do we have a plan in the next phase to invite more guest speakers that we want to proposition?
I think we call that the Black Ops phase. You know, we got fishing, hunting, Black Ops. And we are not afraid to take out all the way out. You know, we're getting our minister. Nobody's stopping us. The universe is on our side. So, anything else?
Thank you,
David. Oh, good. Thank you. Good.